Hello, it's Doug Brown here, joining Brendan Stone today on Unusual Sources on CFMU 93.3 FM McMaster Radio. Well, we were snowed out last week, but we're back this week with a really interesting show. We're going to start off the show with an interview about the boycott, divestment, sanction campaign about settlements in the West Bank and on Palestinian land. And in particular, there's a manufacturing center in the occupied territories where they make a product called SodaStream. And this is quite illegal under international law because it is occupied land, and it's labeled as made in Israel, but it's not. It's made in the occupied territories in Palestine. So quite a bit has been happening on that, especially around the Super Bowl weekend with the SodaStream ad and all the controversy there with the SodaStream spokesperson, Scarlett Johansson. We have on the line Tyler Levitan, who is the coordinator with the Independent Jewish Voices. It's a national organization, and they've been quite active on this issue. In fact, Tyler has been interviewed extensively across Canada and, in fact, internationally. Tyler, are you there?
I am.
Oh, super. So, Tyler, first of all, you're a campaign coordinator with Independent Jewish Voices. Could you tell us a bit about your organization, when it was founded, and what it's been doing?
Sure. So Independent Jewish Voices is a national human rights organization with 9 chapters across Canada. Have several campaigns that we do across the country. So one of them, which I believe we were going to discuss today, is around the boycott of SodaStream. SodaStream is a product made in an illegal Israeli settlement in the West Bank, which is considered occupied Palestine by the international community. Yet it's sold in Canada and several other countries around the world and mislabeled as made in Israel. So we are trying to raise awareness about this particular product, and we're encouraging store owners to remove it from their shelves and to consumers not to purchase it. There's actually several alternatives for people who are interested in buying a product such as SodaStream, which is a do-it-yourself carbonated beverage machine. So we are participating in that campaign with 9 other organizations as part of a coalition, which we can talk about further. We also, our other big campaigns are defending free speech. There's an enormous chill created in the Canadian public generally around criticizing Israel, coming mostly from our political establishment, which is very, very pro-Israel. Actually all of the major federal parties have very pro-Israel positions. Not that IJV is anti-Israel, but the parties tend to put forth a position that is pro-Israel in terms of the Netanyahu government, which is Israel's very right-wing, very xenophobic government that outright calls for ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in many cases. So the fact that our government and other parties aren't more critical of Israel's policies, ongoing policies that amount to crimes, war crimes against the Palestinians, is very disturbing. So we like to stand out in support of groups who are challenging the status quo around this discussion in Canada, particularly with events like Israeli Apartheid Week and other groups who want to challenge Israel's systematic violations of human rights of Palestinians. So we engage in work around supporting those groups and standing in solidarity with those groups, like Palestinian groups and church groups such as the United Church, So that's another campaign. Our third campaign, I'll just touch on very briefly, is to expose this organization called the Jewish National Fund, which is a charitable organization in Canada and 50 other countries around the world. But it's actually an organization founded in 1901 that is a quasi-governmental organization in Israel today. And it was founded in 1901 with the purpose of colonizing land in historic Palestine for use by Jews and for Jews only. So it's basically a colonial company. And its purpose, I guess, hasn't really changed much to this day. It actually acquires land in occupied Palestine in the West Bank, helps to establish infrastructure for illegal settlements. It is quite active in dispossessing Bedouin from inside Israel proper, Israel's current borders, and has policies, because it owns quite a bit of land in Israel, and has policies that exclude non-Jews from purchasing or leasing its land, which violates domestic Canadian laws. So it's quite outrageous that this is an organization that holds charitable status in Canada, so we're encouraging folks to put pressure on the Canada Revenue Agency to revoke the Jewish National Fund's charitable status. So, yeah, that's more or less what we do.
That's quite an impressive list of things you're undertaking. Tyler, I was wondering, you mentioned that there were nine other organizations. Could you mention the United Church? What other groups are involved in the boycott campaign?
The United Church actually endorsed a boycott, or what they have referred to as avoiding products coming from Israel's illegal settlements, and a working group within the United Church called the United Network for a Just Peace in Palestine, Israel. It's kind of a long name, so we use the acronym NJUPI. They're an active member of the coalition, and the other groups include Canadian Friends of Sabeel, which is an ecumenical center for liberation theology, so another Christian organization. We also have Canada-Palestine Association, which is, it's a secular organization that has been working towards Palestinian self-determination since 1980, and that's a cross-country organization. There's groups, more local groups, such as Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East and Hamilton. There's a group called Canadians, Arabs, and Jews for Just Peace, which is in Halifax. So it's really a cross-country effort. Group in Montreal called Palestinian and Jewish Unity. Those are just some of the groups that are involved in the coalition. It's quite representative of the Palestinian human rights movement in Canada, and certainly has lots of ties to other groups on the left who support human rights and social justice.
Yes, that's an impressive list you just gave us, and really, I think the SodaStream boycott is started to really take off. Now, I'll tell you, we've had a couple of demonstrations here in Hamilton of Canada Tire stores in Dundas and in East Hamilton. And I'll use this as an opportunity. This coming Friday at 4:00, we're picketing a third Canada Tire store. This one is at Main and Victoria. The Canada Tire store there, also selling SodaStream. And so, there will be a picket, but we've heard of a number of other pickets. Can you tell us about what's happening in other places in Canada?
Yeah, for sure. There has been pickets across the country at different stores. Some have been at Canadian Tires. For instance, there was a pretty big Canadian Tire picket at the Canadian Tire store in downtown Toronto at Bay and Dundas. That was quite successful. That was actually to launch the United Church's campaign called Unsettling Goods, which is focusing on SodaStream as well as two other settlement products, Ahava and Keter Plastics. So there was that initiative there. In Ottawa, we've been picketing outside of the Bay and outside of some smaller, you know, independently owned stores that sell SodaStream. The same as in Halifax, they've been focusing on a smaller independently owned store. And in Vancouver, there's a pretty strong campaign that's had some really awesome pickets involving like singing and dancing and going inside the store and engaging with customers and singing and stuff inside the store as well, focusing on the store London Drugs. It's really sold at, you know, a wide array of retailers across the country. So it's great. You can really, you don't even need to go with an organized picket. You could simply go to stores and talk to the manager and hand out leaflets to any of the customers at any of these stores and inform people. Anyone can get up and do it. It's great to be there with a group, you know, having an energized picket that involves some sort of maybe role-playing or singing. That's really great. I know that in in Hamilton, there was some caroling around the holiday season, which is nice to see. I know some of our members of the coalition are handing out Valentine cards to people leading up to Valentine's Day, knowing that, you know, significant others will be purchasing soda streams for their partners. And, yeah, it's good to get out there and spread the word. So sometimes there isn't always the capacity to organize a large picket. In the absence of that, like, you know, it's great for people to just go out, you know, take a few minutes, see if the store down the street from them is selling SodaStream, and, you know, and hand out some flyers, some informational flyers, and speak to people, maybe talk to the manager, tell them to remove SodaStream from their shelves. So there's lots of work that's being done and, you know, in different ways across the country with different amounts of capacity.
It looks to me like there's a growing impact of this campaign that you can just tell by the reaction that we're getting, and I can see it starting to be covered more and more by the so-called mainstream press. And you've been interviewed extensively, I believe.
Certainly the mainstream press is covering it more. I think that we have a huge thanks to give to Scarlett Johansson, actually, even though, like, she's been exposed as being a pretty terrible human being. To give a little bit of background to that, Scarlett Johansson was one of several ambassadors for Oxfam, which is an organization, a nonprofit organization fighting global poverty. And she'd been in this role for several years, and just recently, in the last month and a bit, was offered a contract and signed this contract with SodaStream to be their first official global brand ambassador. And there was obviously a bit of a contradiction between these two roles she was playing, and with a lot of pressure from the Palestine Solidarity Movement and supportive, human rights activists from around the world, there was a lot of pressure put on Oxfam to cut their ties with Scarlett Johansson, to basically make the ultimatum, either you cut SodaStream or we'll cut you. And what ended up happening is Scarlett Johansson ended up choosing her contract with SodaStream over her affiliation with this, you know, global anti-poverty organization, who made it very clear to Scarlett Johansson that they're opposed to Israeli settlements and to the occupation of the West Bank because it actually furthers the poverty of Palestinians. And they certainly support boycotts of Israeli settlement products like SodaStream. So this actually turned into quite a big story for the mainstream media. It was covered all over the place, including in the New York Times and in even Canadian periodicals mentioned it. The CBC actually had a little segment on the SodaStream boycott just last week. So there's been tons of coverage around it, and it's really a testament to the work of activists, not just in Canada, but globally, who are really working really, really hard to bring this issue to the fore in the public's eye, because it is difficult to talk about Palestinian human rights in the public domain. It is so heavily censored and demonized in the mainstream. So it's a huge, huge victory for the Palestine Solidarity Movement, and it's really great to see that this ridiculous move on Scarlett Johansson's part has helped propel the movement for Palestinian human rights.
I've seen some really clever Photoshop photos of Scarlett Johansson in the Ersoda Stream pictures. With the most memorable one was I think it showed a barbed wire barrier with all these Palestinians having to do their daily wait to, you know, be able to leave their area and move to another area. I agree with you. Scarlett Johansson probably has done something positive for the cause, although quite unintentionally on her part. Moving into the broader BDS campaign, boycott, divestment, sanctions, I've seen some news items of some significant victories there. The one story I read was about a major investor in the Netherlands deciding to divest, I think, one of the pension plans.
Yeah, there's a pension fund giant in the Netherlands that decided to take their investments out of Israeli banks. I think it was five large Israeli banks because of their investments in, and then I think loans that they've made to Israeli settlements and to businesses within the settlements. So it's becoming an increasing trend now, particularly in Europe, for mainstream institutions to be distancing themselves from the occupation, including obviously the illegal Israeli settlements in occupied Palestine. So this is just, I think, the tip of the iceberg, really. I think there's a lot more to come. There's lots of discussions. There's a lot of things that we don't know that are going on behind the scenes that are going to come to the fore as we can, I think, confidently predict that this so-called peace process brokered by Israel's lawyer in the United States isn't going to produce anything of substance and is ultimately going to fail. And the international community sees that Israel has no interest in helping to create a viable Palestinian state. Netanyahu has really no interest in emptying any of the settlements. Creating a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem, which the entire international community recognizes as the Palestinian capital. No Israeli politician really in the governing party and really in the mainstream would be willing to give up any part of Jerusalem for a Palestinian state. So these are all non-starters for Israel, and because, as I said, the United States is Israel's lawyer and they're the broker in these negotiations, it's just so overwhelming, the power imbalance between Israel and the Palestinians, that this is a facade for kind of Israel to continue to colonize more Palestinian land, because obviously these negotiations are completely unbalanced and aren't going to produce anything of benefit to Palestinians. So I think that as I said, this becomes much clearer to the international community, which I think it is becoming increasingly clear that negotiations aren't really leading to anything, as they actually fail officially. I think that this movement towards boycotting certain Israeli products, potentially all Israeli products, will become much more mainstream.
Yeah, as they say, money talks, I believe it was a member of the Israeli government openly expressed his worry about the economic costs of the boycott divestment sanctions campaign if nothing positive was achieved in terms of the talks with the Palestinians, that there was going to be billions of shekels lost.
Yeah. Definitely, this is something that's being discussed in the inner echelon of the Israeli cabinet. The governing party is very concerned about the boycott situation. At first, they I think this is common in these kind of nonviolent civil rights movements. They kind of ignore you, and then they smear you. Eventually, they join you. So at first, they ignored the BDS movement. Then they realized it was becoming quite powerful and influential, and they started smearing us. I think now they're starting to realize that, okay, this more and more people are joining this movement. It's becoming bigger and bigger. Mainstream institutions in Europe that we're dependent on for the well-being of our economy are now joining into this movement. So we'll see kind of how they handle it, but it's becoming public now that this is something they're taking very, very seriously. At first, they just, as I said, ignored it or just made remarks about its insignificance. Now it's become clear that this is huge. This is a big movement. It's global. It's growing faster and faster, and it's up to them what they decide to do. They appear to be more interested, though, in dealing with the issue by pumping more and more Israeli public money into spying on international activists, into their Hasbara campaigns, which is their public relations campaigns, which basically just focuses on Israeli cultural institutions and tries to distract from the fact that Israel is an occupying apartheid state. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's a global industry around spreading lies and misinformation about Palestinian human rights activists and also creating a very false image of Israel that's based on mythology. All the facts really show a completely different picture of Israel, which compared to what Israel and its public relations industry presents to Jewish communities and to politicians and media around the world. Myself included, I was raised in the Jewish community in Ottawa, and the mainstream community, because there are several Jewish communities, but I didn't even know Palestine existed until I went to high school, until I was out of that bubble that I was in, because there simply was this position, and it's in essence is a genocidal position, that Palestine didn't exist, and the Palestinian people are not really a people. There's a small minority of Palestinian citizens in Israel that the Israeli public relation industry only refers to as Israeli Arabs. But there's no coming to terms with the reality of the situation, which is that Palestine was ethnically cleansed by the fledgling state of Israel. Even before Israel became a state, it started driving out Palestinians for European Jews to create a state in historic Palestine. And until Israel comes to term with this history, and until Israel supporters really confront the history of the ethnic cleansing of Palestine and what that means to the Palestinians and for the recognition of their rights as a people, there will never be a lasting peace in Israel and Palestine. There needs to be some sort of reconciliation, which starts with the acknowledgement of what Israel has done to Palestine and is continuing to do.
Yeah, and it really seems that the boycott, divestment, sanctions campaign, being a totally nonviolent campaign, is a very productive way of pressing Israel, to respect Palestinian rights and to achieve a fair resolution to their occupation of Palestinian lands. We see some encouraging signs, but on the other hand, right here in Canada, we have a prime minister and a governing party that sent a huge entourage to Israel recently, and it seems that they cannot support Israel enough, and that any criticism of any Israeli policy is treated quite harshly.
Yeah, no, it's very disturbing to see. It's actually getting worse in Canada around the issue of discussing Palestinian rights in the public, because I know that Stephen Harper has made it very clear, as our elected prime minister, however marginally, that, you know, basically criticizing Israel is akin to hate speech. It was a form of anti-Semitism. That calling Israel an apartheid state is hateful. So I mean, certainly it is not considered hate speech in Canada. That's not the law at this point in time. That criticizing Israel and the foundation of the state or anything about the state, you know, is anti-Semitic. That's not the case. But if the most powerful person in the land is saying this, and there's lots of evidence around the conservatives and other folks, other elites in Canada who are strongly in favor of making this hate speech. There's lots of evidence to suggest that they're working towards this. So there has to be, you know, a very, very strong opposition towards this by any Canadians that support freedom of speech, whether or not you support the Palestinian call for boycott, divestment, sanctions is irrelevant. If you support free speech, if you support the, I guess, the foundations of this country as being a liberal democracy that enshrines these rights to all of its citizens, then you should be extremely opposed to the intimidation, first and foremost, the intimidation against Palestine Solidarity activists in this country who are doing everything within their legal right to bring to the public attention the horrific crimes being committed against the Palestinians. And certainly to preempt, folks should be doing this as a way to preempt any kind of legislation that could be brought forth that tries to, legalize, you know, the stifling of free speech around this issue, that would, put into legislation something around equating criticism of Israel to hate speech, which really is, I think, a legitimate concern.
Yeah, yes, and it's very important that we have fair and open discussion and not unfairly categorize fair criticism as being hateful or racially motivated. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck with all your future work. And I'll again mention the upcoming event in Hamilton this Friday. At the Canada Tire Store, 4 p.m., 304 Main Street East. That's Main and Victoria. There will be a picket on the sale of SodaStream at the Canada Tire Store. So encourage people, if you have the time, please come out and join us, and you can help further this cause. So thanks again, Tyler.
Thanks for having me, and best of luck with your action.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.